No, I was going to say something, but the reason why I didn't say anything was because I was one of the people that was kind of caught out in the back when the service started and they shut the door because the noise was so loud and everything. And I'm usually on the inside opening the door saying shh to the people on the outside. But I was a felon this morning on the outside perpetrating myself. So I gave you some slack this morning because I know how hard it is to disengage when you've seen somebody that you really care about or just glad to see people that you see every Sunday. So I gave you a break this week. Empathy training. Okay. Our message today is titled, Celebrate Today, Celebrate Forever, Part 2. This was our title last week. I decided I had more to say about it. And so we just rolled the title over to this week. And we're calling it Celebrate Today, Celebrate Forever, Part 2. And this entire month, we're celebrating Jesus. We're celebrating what Jesus has made possible for us because of what he has done for us. I told the Lord the other day, I said, Lord, I am all in with you because you went all in for me. And that's where it started. We love because he first loved us. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son for us. And our love is always a response. Our love is always a reaction. It is always in response to the Lord being the catalyst. He knows that we're but dust. And he knows that if he doesn't do something, our love will fade away like smoke from a cigarette. He knows this, and still he persists in his love for us. So celebrate today, celebrate forever, and our text is from Psalm 145, if you'll turn there, Psalm 145. Psalm 145, and we're just going to just read, okay, and just read along with me. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness, no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of all your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love.
Thank you, Lord.
The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall, and he lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever.
Amen.
Just wanted us to sample this excerpt of the Lord's majesty and magnificence as given to us here in Psalm 145. The essence of this psalm, if I was going to boil it all down into a single sentence, it might go something like this. The Lord is all that and so much more. You know, for all the access that we have, because of Christ, and we have 100% continuous 24/7, 365 access to the Father because of Christ. For all that access, for all of his intimate knowledge of us, and the familiarity that he longs for us to have with him, he invites us to know him more intimately. He's not shutting the door and saying, go away. He's inviting us in to know him better and better. For all of that intimacy, for all of that familiarity, you know, they say familiarity sometimes breeds contempt. So it's good for us to read a psalm like this or to sing songs as we sang them this morning to remember that even though the Lord is near and even though he is familiar, he is an awesome God.
Amen.
He is a majestic king. That he's not Joe Blow down the road. That he may show up in blue jeans, but they're not the kind of jeans that we wear. That he may show up in clothes that are very common to us, but he does uncommon things in them. Because he is a majestic warrior. He is an awesome, almighty God who flung the stars into heaven and calls them all by name. We need to keep these things in mind in order for us to celebrate. So if you're taking notes, I want you to know that I regularly pray for you. Praise the Lord. Because I know you pray for me. I know you do. And I appreciate your prayers. I count on your prayers. So when you say, Pastor, I'm praying for you, I don't say, okay, thank you. You know, I'm saying, thank you. So you're the one. And you're the one. Somebody's praying for me. I know they are. But I want you to know that I pray for you. And I pray that the Lord would heighten all of our appetites. That the Lord would increase our appetites for the more of who he is.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That none of us would settle for what we know.
Mm-hmm.
That none of us would feel like I got enough.
Mm-hmm.
That all of us would be wholly greedy.
Yes,
if I can put that adjective on it. That we have a holy greediness for more. That we want to go beyond, that we would want to be possessed and obsessed with the desire for more of Him. Because He wants to give us that more. Countless places He says it in so many ways. I've quoted often, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. So I pray for you and I pray for me that God would do this for us. So I want to share with you four precious truths this morning that have really been a blessing to me as I have sought the Lord. Four treasures from, I guess you could say, from the unsearchable riches of Christ that inspire me to the more of who He is. And the more of the Christ that we are celebrating this month. So our main idea is this, if you're taking notes. As we surrender to the Lord's care, as we surrender to the Lord's care, comma, His craftsmanship, His creativity, and His calling, our celebration of Christ grows larger. As we surrender to the Lord's care, craftsmanship, creativity, and calling, our celebration of Christ grows larger. Once more, as we surrender to the Lord's care, craftsmanship, creativity and calling, our celebration of Christ grows larger. So let's look at these four treasures individually. First, let's talk about His care. In verse 7 of the psalm that we read, it describes the Lord's goodness as abundant goodness. That He's not just good, but abundant goodness, overflowing goodness. Let me ask you a question if you're a movie buff. How many of you know or who knows who received the 1985 Academy Award gushing these words? Said a few things and then said at the end, and I can't deny the fact that you like me. Right now, you like me. Sally Field. Yes, very good.
Boy, that's scary.
She said that for her role in Places in the Heart. Now, that's been spoofed over the years, you know. Comedians and stuff have spoofed it by saying, she said, and you like me, you really like me. You know, there was no really in it. You like me. And then they add more reallys. You really, really like me. You really, really, really like me. And one comedian's running from person to person. You like me too, and you like me. You know, so they've exaggerated far beyond what it was. But I was thinking about that line this morning as I was finishing up this morning's message. And I was thinking about how, from my scriptural research, as I've looked at many verses and many passages, I've come to the conclusion that the Lord wants us to have that undeniable certainty that He not only loves us from a commitment standpoint, but that He likes us. Right now, He likes us. I know you know He loves you, but do you believe He likes you? First Kings, I'm just going to read it. You don't have to turn there, but write the reference down. First Kings 19:1. Many of you are familiar with the story. This is after Elijah had challenged the prophets of Baal. And an incredible miracle from heaven had just occurred. Fire fell down from the sky and consumed the sacrifice that had been made with water all on and on the altar and trenches around it and everything. And the Lord, to demonstrate that he was the one true God, as Elijah prayed, he said, "Lord, you demonstrate who you are." And fire came down, consumed the altar, all the water, and licked up the water in the trenches. And it was an amazing display of the Almighty God. And then chapter 19 happened right after this. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done. Jezebel was the sponsor of the prophets that of Baal. And she wasn't pleased. So Elijah had told all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, and while he himself went a day's journey into the desert, he came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. Okay, Lord, show your power. Fire from heaven comes down, awesome display. Short while later, here he is. "Let me die. I've had enough, Lord," he said. "I've had enough. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." So the Lord gave him a Snickers bar. "You're not yourself." "Get up and eat." Elijah, he looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. The journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. We need to learn to surrender to the care of the one who cares for us, whether we're calling fire from the sky or whether we're hiding and saying, "Lord, I've had enough. Take my life. I'm no better than anybody else. I've had it." We need to surrender to the care of the one who isn't all that concerned about your proficiency. You think he's all that concerned about your proficiency? He's not. What he's concerned about is our relationship with him. Amen. See, he's not concerned about whether you get an A. He's not concerned about whether you hit the bullseye or not. And this is what he's trying to show Elijah here. I care about you, Elijah. I like you. Whether you are the prophet commanding respect, and whether you're the prophet that is representing me with awe and glory, or whether you're this broken down man hiding in a cave with no strength at all, I'm going to give you something to sustain you. And on this food, the journey's not too much for you. But on your own, nah, ain't going to work. Psalm 55 tells us I call to God and the Lord saves me. Evening and morning and noon, I cry out in distress and he hears my voice. And in verse 22 of Psalm 55, it says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. In 1 Peter 5, we read these words, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all of your anxiety, every one of them, all of them, even if you're the anxiety, all anxieties on him, all of them, because he cares for you. Lord, you like me right now. You like me. You care for me right now, right here. The Lord delights in us far more than we could ever delight in him. The Lord is mindful of us. He knows all of our thoughts from afar. He knew who we were when he formed us in the womb, before he formed us in the womb. He is intimately acquainted with all of our ways. But it's not just knowledge in his head. He doesn't just have, you know, like trivial facts about us. His knowledge means that he's also involved with us in everything. Amen. You see, how else could the Lord cause all things to work together for good unless he was involved in all things? So he is mindful of us because he cares for us. And he wants us to surrender to his care each day. I said, thank you, Lord, for always picking me up. Because I, like Elijah, fall down. And I'm not always strong. And I'm not always spiritual. And I have the answers, but I don't always believe them. I can teach them, but they're not always in my spirit. You can come to me for counsel on Tuesday, and you can leave inspired. And I can wake up on Wednesday wondering what happened. See, I understand, Elijah. I understand how you can be in a spot where you are full of the power of God, and you know he's so real, real in my soul today. Right? Emphasis on today. But who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? But I thank you that I serve a God and we serve a God who cares about who we are in totality. And demonstrates this. I'm so glad that the Lord didn't give us a model of one of his superstar people, Elijah. That was just perfect. Thank you, Lord, for including that let me die. Thank you for including that fear where he's running for his life. Thank you for including that hiding. And then demonstrating who you are against that backdrop. Because it would be easy to believe that God would be all for me as long as I'm calling fire from the sky. But see, I need to see a God, me, knowing who I am, I need to see a God who will say, here, eat a Snickers bar. You're not yourself. I need that God. That's the God we surrender to. But sometimes it's not enough to know that he cares. Sometimes it's not enough to know that he really cares. We need to know that he really, really, really cares. And so the Lord Jesus takes this a step further for us. In the new covenant, with the high priestly prayer that I spoke about a few weeks ago, listen to the words of Jesus. I and them, Father, I in them, and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity. To let the world know that you sent me, and you have loved them, even as you have loved me. You see, it's beyond his love for Elijah, brothers and sisters. You see, he loves us with the same love that he loves Jesus Christ with. Yes, there is no difference between the love the Father has for the Son and the love he has for us. Amen. I can't get my arms around that. I have to meditate on that a while. I have to sit with that. I have to pray about that. I have to say, Lord, are you sure? I'm not sure that, let me look at that again. Are you sure? I mean, I read in Psalm 42 that you said, this is my servant, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights, when you're talking about your Son. I look at the heavens opening up when he's being baptized, and you said, this is my beloved Son, in whom is all my pleasure and my delight. Hear him. You love me like that? I got to meditate on that a little bit. Secondly, we surrender, his craftsmanship. We surrender to his craftsmanship. It says in verse 9, he has compassion on all he has made. Let me read something to you from my journal. By the time we see it clearly enough to pray about it, by the time we see it clearly enough to pray about it, you've already been doing it.
Amen.
So do our prayers activate your actions, or are your actions already in motion by the time we pray? Because our faith was launched before our prayers, and our prayers are but an expression of our already launched faith. Wow. Well, it's not really important. Not really. No one reading this will understand a word of what I just wrote. But you do, Lord.
Yes.
And that's what makes being in relationship with you so amazing.
Hallelujah.
And so fantastic.
Yes.
You know me so well.
Yes.
And even before a word is on my tongue, you know it all together. You know its literal meaning. And you know its deeper meaning.
Yes.
You not only hear what I say, and you not only know what I mean, you know the deepest subconscious roots of my desire. People put it this way, you know me better than I know myself. The Lord is crafting a unique relationship with each one of us. His craftsmanship. I marvel and I thank him for it. I said, Lord, thank you for the craftsmanship that you are showing in our relationship, the craftsmanship of the relationship that you're building with me, the durability of it, the quality of it, the attractiveness of it. It's a wonderful thing you are creating, that you're crafting this relationship that we have together. I am thankful for it. A year ago today, it was a Friday afternoon, and my wife was getting her driver's license renewed at the MVA. She went and sat in a booth, and I wasn't with her. I was someplace else. And so she sat in the booth, and the worker is working with her. And as they're going through the process, I come up and I sit in the booth in the chair next to her. And the woman looks at me like, who is this guy? And my wife notices it and says, "Oh, it's my husband." And I said, "What are you talking about, woman? I don't even know who you are. Never seen you before in my life." And she said, "Well, what are you doing in here?" And I said, "Because I want to know you." And the associate is just dying over this. I didn't tell her I was a pastor. But that would have been okay. And I only share that to say that in this relationship with the Lord that is intensifying every day, this relationship with the Lord that has the most serious import for me, that is all-consuming. He is what I think about, dream about, eat. It's becoming bigger and bigger and out of control. And I told the leaders yesterday, I said, "I don't know what's to become of me." Because he is becoming more and more magnificent. And what is happening is he is not dousing my personality. He is not dousing my humor. He is not dousing my fascination with life. He is not dousing my desire for fun and pleasure and all the things that made Danny Danny before he became a believer. He's bringing it out even more. But he's bringing it out in a way that enhances who I am. It doesn't deteriorate who I am. It doesn't detract. You know, some things can be corrosive that we think are us. Right? Well, it's just me. But they're corrosive. They're destructive. They're self-destructing. It could be attitudes, self-limiting attitudes. It could be self-defeating behaviors. Things that we just want to hold on to before we know the Lord or when we're young in the Lord that we just think are us. But as we surrender to his craftsmanship, he shows us who we really are and says, "That thing that you were trying to just be, I'm going to bring it out in a greater measure, a fuller measure, wholeness." Wholeness. I'm going to make you whole. I'm going to heal you. Lord, you are wonderful, and all you do is done in faithfulness, wisdom, and love. It is my highest pleasure, my greatest honor, and privilege to belong to you. And I don't want to be in control of your power, even if I could be.
All right, say that now, man.
If you said, "Dan, here, I'm going to give you my power. Now you've got it. Do with it what you want. Make happen whatever you want." I wouldn't want it. Would you want it? The Lord just said, "Okay, you can have all of my power and do whatever you want with it. Here it is. You're in charge. Go for it." I wouldn't want it. Blow myself up. Be like putting my grandson in the garage with a bunch of power tools and plugging them in. Here you go. Disaster. I'm happy, Lord, to be a vessel in which and through which you demonstrate your power. I trust in your craftsmanship. I like how you're, I like what you're doing. I like the way you're carving the unique features of our relationship. Third, his creativity. Verse 5 talks about the glorious splendor of his majesty. Oh, the Lord is so creative. He wants us to surrender each day to his creativity, to take our hands off of how things should be, how they ought to be, even how I want them to be, and surrender to his creativity. You see, you think of just one example of Jesus as we look at him in the scriptures. We think of one example of him feeding the 5,000. Now think of the creativity involved in that. Now Jesus could have very easily have said to Peter, or to John, or Matthew, or Mark, or any of the other 12 that were there, he could have very easily said, hey, these people don't have anything to eat. And they said, well, Lord, we don't have anything to feed them with. And the Lord could have said, give them something to eat. And then they would have said, well, Lord, we don't have enough to feed even a fraction of these people. And the Lord could have said, okay, I'll tell you what. Go up to that tree and look behind it, and there's a bag of money. Take the money and go and buy bread and fish. He could have done that, couldn't he?
Yeah.
Because at one point, when they had to pay the tax,
that's right.
He told Peter, go fishing. And the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and there's going to be a coin in there. Enough for us to be able to pay this tax. So he could have done that, right? But instead, he said, what do you have? Well, we got these few fish and loaves of bread. He brought them to him. He said, bring them to me. And he lifted them up. And he gave thanks. And that small lunch was multiplied in a dramatic, miraculous way. Infinitely creative in the way he approaches things. You can look back over your own life. I can look back over my own life and I say, Lord, why did you do it like that? You could have done it like this, this, and this. But no, he had to do it this way. Because, well, he says, I'm the creator. That's what I do. The creator creates. The creator is creative. I created creativity. And so I am going to be creative in your life. I'm going to do things in a way that has some panache, some flair. I'm not going to do things in a boring way in your life because that's not who I am. I'm creative.
Amen.
You know how creative people are, right? You ever have a creative person in your life? They're just everywhere. The creator. Where do you think they got it from? He's everywhere. And think about this. He has access to all our senses. He lives inside of you. He's got access to all of your senses, your sense of sight, your hearing, your smell, your taste, your touch. What could a creative, almighty God do with that kind of access? You could chew on a piece of chicken, and that chicken could taste like the best chicken ever. You could see things in a way that you've never seen them before.
Amen.
I never saw that before.
Amen.
You could hear things that capture your attention and cause you to look up to heaven.
Yes.
Like that mockingbird that I heard a while back as I'm taking my walk. It's singing this beautiful song. And it stopped me in my tracks. And I looked up and I looked at it. And it was like, yeah, I'm singing it.
Yeah.
That's me. And it was so awesome. I didn't know it was a mockingbird, but I got a picture of it, and I went home and looked it up. And I found out all these amazing things about this wonderful bird, this mockingbird, and how my senses were perked up that day to pay attention and to give thanks and to praise the Lord because he made my hearing more acute and directed it to him so that I would know, yeah, that's me. I did that. A few days later, I heard a crow up there. Give it up, bro. God made him too. The Creator has access to all of our emotions. Think about that. He's got access to our emotions, joy and empathy. Access to our spirits. We planned to have a Bible study last Thursday. That's the plan. But every second Thursday, we have prayer first, and then we have Bible study. Well, this last week, we had prayer and prayer. And the whole time was consumed with prayer. And none of us wanted to stop. When we finally did, spontaneous applause erupted. Just nobody planned it. Nobody made it happen. It wasn't contrived. But the Creator has access to our spirits, and He chose to bless us with that gift that night.
Amen.
You never know what He's going to do. I don't know what kind of God people who say God is boring, I don't know what God they're talking about.
Amen.
I don't know that God.
Amen.
Vern was talking about how the Lord has access to our physical bodies.
Yes, sir.
He can evoke certain physical responses. You know, you hear a song or you're reading the word and you get a chill or something just happens to your physical body. I remember one time the presence of the Lord was so vivid in my bedroom that I literally had to bow down. It wasn't a thought. It wasn't conscious. It says Moses, when he saw the glory of the Lord, he made haste to bow down. And there are times when the presence of the Lord can be so real that it evokes a physical response in our bodies because He has access. The Creator has access. Got access to our thoughts. Brother Robert Craig was telling us at our leaders meeting yesterday, he was telling us how one of the things he depends upon the Lord for is just ideas. And how the Lord gives him ideas. A lot of times we think we just came up with stuff. You know, it dawned on me. You know, some of those dawnings are whispers from the Spirit. Got access to our relationships. Somebody happens to come to us with just the right thing at just the right time, with just the thing we need to hear, in just the way we need to hear it. Lord, I place no limitations. I place no limitations or restrictions on Your capabilities today. I relinquish to You all my shoulds about how things are supposed to happen. I offer no resistance to where You want to take me today. I trust You. I give You my hand. And I consign to You all the moments that You have allotted to me today. I don't always know what You're up to, Lord. Because Your ways are beyond understanding. But when You decide to act, when You decide to do what You're going to do, it's always marvelous. And when You do it, wow. Amen.
Amen.
Finally, His calling. We surrender to His calling and our celebration gets bigger. Verse 11, it says, Your saints will tell of the glory of Your kingdom and speak of Your might. Posted on Facebook the other day, a Simply Grateful that says, Lord, if anyone really wants to know the truth about whatever happened to Dan Beatty, also known as Frenchie, if anybody really wants to know the truth about whatever happened to that Dan Beatty, that Frenchie, my answer is simply You. And what an incredible happening You are. Because You didn't just happen. You are happening. Every day. Realize this, brothers and sisters, your life is bigger than any ideas you have about it.
Yes.
Or any plans that you have for it. And that's why the Lord says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. About what I'm doing, where I'm taking you. I thank you, Lord, for the grace that covers all the things, seen and unseen, that I am, that are not a reflection of you. Thank you for the grace that covers all the things, seen and unseen, that I am, that are so not a reflection of you. And for your sponsorship of all the things that are. Because by the grace of God, I am what I am. You know, brothers and sisters, I want to close on this point by saying I think that our job is not to model perfect behavior as Christians. I think sometimes the evil one makes us think that our calling is to be perfect Christians, that our calling is to be impeccable examples, paragons of godliness, that we are called to be splendid and perfect examples of how to live the Christian life. If that's our calling, we're all in trouble. Because none of us are that. And let me tell you, I don't care who you are, and I don't care how much you know, and I don't care how long you've been following the Lord, I know you are not all that. So you're not fooling me one bit. Because no human being is all of that. The Apostle Paul himself recognized, I'm not all that. But all he knew and all he wrote and all he taught, he said, God came into this world to save sinners, of which I am the worst. I am what I am by the grace of God, he said. So our calling is not to model perfect behavior. No, we don't want to run around stinking up the joint intentionally. No, we don't. Somebody's going to say, well, Pastor, don't you think we should? Yeah, we should. We should live a godly life. But in all of our efforts, it's never going to be perfect. So give that up. Instead, determine to live an authentic life.
Amen.
Determine to be real with the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm never going to lie to you. I might lie to everybody else, but I'm never going to lie to you.
Amen.
Amen. Start with that level of authenticity with him. Job is not to model perfect behavior, but to model how to process life.
Yes.
How to process failures without being crushed by shame.
Jesus.
And how to process success without being victimized by self-righteousness.
Amen.
How to learn how to accept our forgiveness and grow in humility. In other words, when I think of character, character is processing life, the good and the bad of it,
amen,
in alignment with our status before God under the new covenant. Care, craftsmanship, creativity, and calling, let the celebration continue today and forever. And I'm done.
Amen.